All right, 2 hours down, one more to go. Mason in Ireland, Brian Kamenetsky in for Mace today. And let's give a little plug for your one of your other jobs.
Yes.
The guy who has my job for the Utah, we're off the rails today. For the Utah Jazz, the radio play-by-play guy is a guy by the name of David Locke, who we've had on the show, really good dude. And David's a really smart guy, and he has created a podcast network called Locked On. So, for example, he's got over 100 podcasts, and you can be Locked On Rams, Locked On Dodgers, and one of the most popular ones, I think it's actually the most popular one, is Locked On Lakers. And that is hosted by Brian and his brother Andy. They do it Monday through Friday, available wherever you get your podcasts. And you guys, I did not listen to this podcast, but I saw you guys tease it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to ask you about it because it's something that I struggle with a lot. You asked this question: should the Lakers bring back D'Angelo Russell? Now, I am very biased. I like D'Lo personally. I think he was, when he came back to the Lakers the second time after the first time, he was a much better fit, much more mature, much smarter player. As a Lakers apologist, I will admit he did not play great in the Denver series, but I thought he had his moments.
A little bit of a down series. Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
I thought he had his moments in against both Memphis and Golden State.
I agree.
What was the verdict that you guys came to, and what was the response about whether or not the Lakers should bring back D'Angelo Russell?
I think people are overrating the Denver series. I think they are,
putting too much stock in it. Yeah.
They are looking at that and forgetting that he played pretty well when, after the trade. He got hurt, but that's different. And, the stats aren't great. They're pretty good, but they're not great for the first two rounds of the playoffs. But I mean, if you go back and you watch, there were sections of the Memphis game where he ripped off, three buckets in a row, 9 points, 11 of their 14 in a 2 minute stretch or whatever, and kind of lifted their offense in ways. And certainly had a couple really big games against Golden State. I am a big proponent of bringing him back because they are not going to find another player to replace him that is as good as he is. And, he's got flaws and he's potentially problematic in the playoffs like we saw against Denver, because he can be attacked defensively, and that's what the Nuggets did. But it's a couple things. First, he's still pretty good. I mean, he's a really good player. And the Lakers are going to need 9, 10, 11, 12 credible NBA players next year so that they can protect LeBron and AD as much as possible. They need a really good regular season roster. And even if you think D'Lo is kind of an 82-game player as opposed to the 16-game player that they talk about, that's really valuable for the Lakers.
If it came down to, and it could, I often say on this show, Rob Pelinka can see the whole board. I can't. He knows what's out there, and he probably, if you look at the names that he traded for at the trade deadline, nobody was mentioning those as possibilities for the Lakers. Nobody was saying Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
Rob just kind of pulled a rabbit out of the hat. If it comes down to him or Dennis Schroeder, in your opinion, who's a better fit?
I think they need D'Lo more because he is a legitimate volume floor spacer. And while Schroeder can sort of shoot the three, he's not somebody who you have to pay that much attention to as a three-point shooter. I love Schroeder's defense. I feel like what Dennis did for them last year is more easily replaced than what Russell can. Like, especially if they don't bring back Beasley, who legitimately didn't play well as a Laker. We saw in the playoff, their outside shooting is a problem. And they need guys who can do that. And Russell is, Russell shot 40% from three in the regular season, the games he played. I just think they need what he does. He's a really good fit next to Austin Reeves as a player who doesn't need the ball but can run the pick and roll with Anthony Davis. I like D'Lo. I think he's a valuable player for what they do and probably could get him around, he made $31 million this year. He's not making anywhere near that. It's probably much closer to 18 to 20 than it was 30.
I think you might even be able to get him 3 years, 45.
I think that's possible. Yeah. Absolutely.
Greg, where are you on this? Are you more Team Russell or Team Schroeder? Let me say this.
Dennis is going to be hard to keep because of what they can offer.
Right. Probably have to give and let me say this. I hope they can find a way to keep them both. But, Greg, if who's a better fit?
I think Dennis is probably the better fit. I do agree with Brian, though, that Russell is a better floor spacer and can hit the three much, much better. I just don't know how well he's going to fit. He demands too much money. I understand that you can bring him in and then trade his contract, so that could be very
How much?
$30 million.
Right, but he wasn't even asking for that for Minnesota. Reportedly, he was only asking for 25 with the idea he probably wouldn't get that either.
So what do you think he's going to actually? What he's going to ask for now?
What is he going to ask for, or what is he going to get?
Yeah, what is he going to get?
I think 3 years, 45 works for both teams.
I think that is a possibility. Is I think that's probably a little lower than I think. The problem is, where's the market for him? It's a really bad free agent year, so you could say that bumps it up. But on the other hand, if you're a team with cap space, You're probably one of the lesser teams in the league. Like,
it's
you're
Orlando,
not sign,
who's coming up.
Right. You're not going to sign you're not going to use $25 million a year on D'Angelo Russell. And if you're a really good team, you have the same reservations the Lakers do. They need each other. The Lakers can't really afford to let him go because they can't replace him. And I think people have gone from, look at that Denver series and he's like, D'Lo is trash. He's not. He's a really good NBA player. I don't think he'll ever make another All-Star team, but he's a really good NBA player.
He is, but I just think that he's one of those guys that once he hits a shot, you're like, uh-oh, he's going to take 17 more after.
Yeah,
this.
But sometimes he goes on a bender and hits a bunch of those.
Right. I mean, that happens once every four games, and so when you get those once every four games.
No, happened much more than that.
Not with the Lakers. Maybe sure win did. With Minnesota. He played in the regular season, not in the playoffs. In the playoffs, it was once every 3-4 games.
No, he had a couple really good games overall against Memphis, and then two or three really important stretches in that where his
stretches,
value.
Yes, in the fourth quarter.
And then
won them a game.
Against, he had a pretty good series against Golden State. He had one for 10 game, but other than that, pretty good.
All right, so Brian, you mentioned Austin Reeves. Jovan Buha from The Athletic, who is a really good Laker beat writer.
Excellent.
Just excellent deep dive guy. If Jovan writes it, you can trust it. He's just really good, really smart. He says, and I'm curious if you agree with it, that in his opinion, the Lakers will match any offer to Austin Reeves, even if it's $100 million.
I agree.
You buying it?
I do.
Okay. He also says, Jovan was on a Hoops Hype podcast. He says Orlando, Houston, and San Antonio all might come for him. But wouldn't they know what you and I just said? Wouldn't they know that if they tie up all their money in an offer sheet to Austin and they know the Lakers are going to match it, I understand that that gives them a competitive advantage and puts the screws to the Lakers, but it also ties up their money, and they can't offer it to anybody else.
But not for very long anymore. Remember, they've changed. It used to be it was tied up for like a week.
Right, now I think it's 3 days.
I think it's 2 or 3 days. Yeah. And so I think it's one of those deals where, like, and I've actually wondered this. Like, if everybody knows the Lakers are going to try to match, does that actually hurt Reeves's ability to get? Because the Lakers can only pay him, I think it's 4 and 52. And he's worth way more than that.
Let's explain that a little bit, though. They can only offer him that. But when another team offers him $100 million, the Lakers have the ability to match it. It will put them into a luxury tax situation, which isn't ideal, but they control it. The Lakers control it. They can match any offer that Austin gets. And you think even if it's what they call a poison pill contract, where the last 2 years of the deal are $20 million each, you think the Lakers match?
I will, because I do, because to that point, like Austin Reeves, if he signs a $50 million contract next year or a $70 million contract or a $90 million contract, is only going to count for $12 million against the cap next year. That's the most amount of money he can make. So all this stuff would be backloaded. And I think there are two reasons. First, he's too valuable to let go. They already did it with Caruso. I think they kind of learned their lesson. And these guys it does seem, I guess, like plucky white dudes just grow on a tree outside of the facility in El Segundo. But the other thing is, like, it's not that hard to picture a world in which 2 or 3 years from now, Austin Reeves is credibly worth $22 or $23 million.
I mean, I heard Bill
maybe
Simmons.
Maybe it's a little bit of an overpay, but like you would, it's not, that's not a crazy number.
Yeah. I heard Bill Simmons on a podcast say he's Gordon Hayward. And I think that's a good comp. He's got a similar skill set. And Hayward made like $200 million.
Right. He's the, you know, he's...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hayward, and I think what he means by that is Hayward was good at everything.
Right.
Wasn't necessarily great at anything, but he could shoot a little bit, and he was a good passer. And you know, it was a different position. He's a bigger, Hayward's a bigger guy, but good passer, pretty good rebounder, good defender before he got hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And he could hit an outside shot. There was no, you could put prime Gordon Hayward around any other players, and it would work. And that's one of the things that makes Reeves so valuable is he can play with anyone because you can stick him in any kind of lineup because the skill set's so versatile.
Yeah, I love him. He's one of my favorite players on the team. And we'll see. My gut feeling is I'm okay with the Lakers doing anything as long as they bring back Reeves and Hachimura. I would like to see both. LeBron, AD, and Vanderbilt are coming back for sure. So is Max Christie. Mm-hmm. Those four are signed, sealed, and delivered. I think Reeves is the fifth that we can assume the Lakers are going to get him here by hook or by crook. I would agree. I'd like Hachimura to be the sixth person on that list. What do you think?
I think they are going to try. I mean, in the same way that the Lakers caught a break by D'Lo not playing, if they really want to bring him back, they caught a break by him not playing well against Denver, and that probably cost him a couple million a year at least. Hachimura got progressively more expensive as the playoffs went on. So when they first made that trade, it was like, oh, maybe we could keep Rui for, you know, $8 million, $10 million or whatever. That became like, maybe we could keep him for $12 million, $14. Now it's like people are talking about $18 million for Rui. It's $19, $20. Like there does start to get to be a number where you're like, are we sure he's that good?
Yeah.
But I agree with you. They kind of have to bring it back.
Okay, coming up next. Is it okay for guys to FaceTime each other? Or is that no good? You'll be surprised who has an opinion on that. We'll share it with you next. This song always makes me think about what movie, Brian? My Best Friend's Wedding. This is Julia Roberts and Julia Roberts and Dermot Mulroney have a song they grew up, and so she loans it to him as a wedding present. You didn't see My Best Friend's Wedding?
I have. It's been a while.
It's a classic. All right. Do you FaceTime anybody?
My parents.
Bergman, do you FaceTime anybody? Other than Riley, do you FaceTime anybody?
Some people, yeah.
Charles Barkley has an opinion about dudes who FaceTime other dudes. Here it is.
Hey, the ball goes further.
We play tomorrow, it's going to affect them.
I cannot wait to play you tomorrow. It's great. You be sending me videos of your swing. Be FaceTime me. You know dudes don't FaceTime each other. That's inappropriate.
Really?
Dudes don't FaceTime each other,
right,
man. Dudes don't FaceTime each other.
All right, Chuck.
Okay, just telling you. But no, my ball was going further. Shout out to everybody today. The great Peyton Manning and his guys, they were great to me. The pros were great. All the fans were great. So
he's talking about somebody who's FaceTiming him with golf advice. But his main point is that dudes don't FaceTime each other. Now, this is very bad news for my friend Bill McDonald, who does not use the telephone as a phone. He only FaceTimes. So
if I was going to talk to Billy Mack, I'd want it to be on FaceTime, too.
Yeah. You know, should we FaceTime right now? Let's see what he's doing. But I think that if they eliminated the FaceTime feature it would be like serious trouble. I don't think there's anything wrong with FaceTiming a dude.
No, so I FaceTime my friends who have a baby, and so like, you know, we FaceTime and then they show me the baby and then we just talk.
Oh, you know what? I think
it's not a euphemism either. It's he really means show me the baby.
I think Billy's in France.
Weird euphemism.
All right, so we won't FaceTime.
Sounds like you're talking about, like, if you said, you know, and I tell them to show me the baby, like, that could be.
You said it that way.
With the right tone.
Are you FaceTiming Billy?
No, I think he's on. I think he's at a wedding in France. He may be back. Let me try. We'll see if it works. All right. Okay.
But yeah, while he's FaceTiming, we can still talk about the euphemism.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with dudes.
Well, certainly not what Charles Barkley is implying.
I'm trying Pepe.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. Are you trying to FaceTime Pepe?
Are we all just trying to FaceTime somebody?
Well, we did a thing on Super Crosstalk for a while. Hey, he's not picking up. We did a thing on Super Crosstalk for a while. Ask Pepe if he wants to go to that Laker BBGO event on Monday.
All right.
The only person that was ever, we had to do this one time for social where he said, would you FaceTime somebody? And I FaceTime O'Shea and he picked up. We can try. He's in France or Spain or something like that, though.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who I tried to FaceTime and they didn't pick up. But it's like, Brian, who's the most famous person in your phone?
Andy.
No.
Mine used to be Kobe.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
But now that he's not, it's like one of the famous golf celebrities that I never FaceTime anybody. I tried to FaceTime and he didn't answer.
I
went to high school with Sterling Brown, so we're friends.
Oh, he's actually a really good actor.
So, now, how would you feel? So I have Billy Mack's number. If I FaceTimed him and he answered, how would you feel?
I don't care.
No.
No, but he would be most affected by that because he FaceTimes everybody. That's all he ever does is FaceTime people. Are you a Succession guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a story about Succession in the finale. In the finale, Kieran Culkin, who plays Roman, Romulus, wore a $13 t-shirt that you can buy at Walmart. It is now sold out. He created a run on the $13 Walmart t-shirt. So it begs the question, have you guys ever bought anything as a result of something you saw on a TV show? I don't think I have. I mean, I've bought stuff I've seen as the result of a commercial, but something that was worn in a TV show or a movie.
I did steal
an idea from the original Karate Kid. The original Karate Kid, do you remember what Ralph Macchio dressed up as for Halloween?
The shower.
Right, with the ring on his head and a shower curtain. I stole that for a fraternity party once.
Okay.
But that's about the closest thing to it. I've never, like, the fact that Kieran Culkin wore a $13 shirt in Succession doesn't make me want to go to the website and buy it.
No, actually, though, I recognized the sort of the style of that shirt, and I thought it was actually a different brand at a place where, like, from a company that I actually liked their clothes a lot. Turned out it wasn't. It was a Walmart shirt. I've never bought clothes specifically because I saw, like, a celebrity wearing them.
Right.
But I'm like often intrigued by, like, if I see in a movie people going to a restaurant, a certain neighborhood, a certain part of town, something like that, I'm like, oh, I want to go there. It's more like I want to live the lifestyle. I want to eat the food. I want to, you know, visit the same kinds of bars and restaurants and castles and beaches and whatever. Like that kind of thing I would aspire to.
Oh, hey, Bergman, did you see this?
Real fast, I have a cup that says Believe on it from Ted Lasso. Does that count?
Did you buy it because of that?
Well, I mean, it's the Believe sign from
Ted Lasso. Yeah, but you saw it on Ted Lasso and you sought it out and bought it?
I mean, I saw it and I was like, ooh, I want that. That's cool. It's from Ted Lasso.
Have you seen the finale yet?
Yes.
That's a big part. The Believe thing is a big part of the finale.
Oh, it made me cry.
I thought it was great. I mean, Mason's over it. He didn't like Ted Lasso. He got sick of it. But
he hates happiness.
Yeah, I think he hates
first season was incredible. It kind of lost its way a little bit, and it took about three or four or five episodes this season before it really found its footing again. And I thought the last, I don't know, 5-6 episodes, nothing was ever as good as the first season.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that what was left wasn't good.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. All right, coming up, there are two celebrities who went out on a date. And if these two end up becoming a couple, I think it would break the internet. I'll tell you who it is coming up next. Brian Kamenetsky and for Mace, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, this is why we're all pretty soon, my career will be come to a crashing halt. This is somebody taking Frank Sinatra with artificial intelligence and having him sing Thriller.
Told you it's coming. Don't need Sam Jackson to be your Alexa voice anymore.
Yeah, this
just
is
just have this.
This is bad. That's all I'm going to tell you.
I don't know. It's kind of catchy.
All right.
The real earworm.
Turn it up, Jorge.
It's not just the voice. It's also that he's like the whole band has been AI'd.
Yeah, it's a little weird. But I'm telling you, it's going to advance and it's going to get better and it's going to take all of our jobs.
Better than that.
Okay. Brian, this is a weird story. And I think if this happens, if this plays out to fruition, it could break the internet. At the Baker's Bay Golf and Ocean Club in the Bahamas, Tom Brady owns a property. The other day, it's a residential community that you need to know somebody to get in.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, someone was using his golf cart to tour the facility. I don't know how they got the golf cart out of his garage. I don't know how they got the keys to the golf cart. And that person was Kim Kardashian. Two nights later, they were spotted having dinner together. If Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian become a couple, will they have any privacy whatsoever at any point ever? Wouldn't People Magazine pay top dollar to get any picture of these two out in... Can you imagine if they kissed?
Oh, my God.
Greg, it would break the internet, wouldn't it?
I mean, it would be a really big deal, but what does break the internet even mean anymore?
I'm just saying, if you could get a picture of those two making out, you could sell it for whatever you want.
I mean, two good-looking people.
By the way, I've been next to each of these people in before. They might be the two best-looking people I've ever seen.
And Brady is an extremely handsome man.
This reminds me of the time I remember I was driving around Hollywood with my wife, and there was a billboard up for the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Angelina Jolie,
and Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. And I said to my wife, just looking at this billboard, I said, the Pitt-Aniston marriage is over. And Lisa goes, what are you talking about? I go, those are the two best-looking people in the world. They're going to hook up. She goes, you're an idiot. 3 months later, leaves Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie. There's too much heat there, Brian. There's too much heat. If they're already having dinner, it's coming.
I'm sure there is a side and stuff that I'm not seeing. And, you know, Giselle was into it for a while. But I just find Tom Brady so incredibly dull.
Well, what do you find Kim?
I'm not a huge Kardashian fan, but, like, she seems like she's got a little more going on.
No. Here's the thing.
Is she also quite dull?
No, but she's not, like, life of the party. She's just exceptionally good looking. And, by the way, they don't need each other's money.
Oh, that's true.
So they could sign a prenup and they're off to the races. If they had a kid, the kid would be famous.
She's richer than him, right?
It's close.
Wouldn't you say?
It's close. I would say she
had a higher net worth, Tom Brady?
I would say she is richer than him.
Kim Kardashian?
I'd say
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
But I think if those two end up.
Wait, what are you looking that up on? Because, like, the thing
net
that
worth,
just says...
Just Google Kim Kardashian
net worth. Kim Kardashian's net worth is $1.2 billion.
Okay, now go Google Tom Brady's.
Tom Brady net worth.
Brady, I don't think Brady's a billionaire.
Because my net worth thing is...
$512 million.
So, half a billion. Kim's worth over a billion.
So, she's got to make
sure... And all
sure
of her sisters are worth over a billion.
So, she's got to get the prenup.
Well, maybe they both... Kim's been married three times already. And Tom's been... married at least once. And I don't know if he had... He wasn't married to Bridget Moynihan, was he? He had a child with her, but I don't think he was ever married to her.
A friend of mine says, Vito says, Brady and Kim would be the new Jay-Z and Beyonce. They would take over that couple.
Yep, that's true. Jay-Z and Beyonce are probably the biggest power couple in the world. If Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian hook up...
What would happen...
are you typing in into ChatGPT?
And Kim Kardashian...
Yeah, it to me would be unbelievable that... I mean, I thought Kim and Kanye was a power couple. Kim and Tom Brady? Good night. I mean, that... They would never... I'm friends with Eric Johnson, Jessica Simpson's husband.
Right.
Even if he goes out to dinner, like 30 cameras follow him around. He's a former NFL guy.
He's just a dude.
Yeah, he's playing for the Knights. Great guy. But, I mean, if Kim Kardashian and Tom Brady hook up, the first time they go to one of Kim's kids' soccer games, there'll be 10 live trucks there.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I can't imagine. I was like, does she show up to this? If Tom Brady, the renowned American football quarterback, and Kim Kardashian, a prominent social media personality and businesswoman, started dating, it would likely generate significant media attention and public interest. Both individuals have large followings and are frequently in the public eye. Their relationship could potentially lead to a mix of positive and negative consequences. On the one hand, their combined fame and influence could generate considerable attention for various causes or philanthropic endeavors that they choose to support. They might use their platforms to raise awareness for charitable organizations or engage in joint ventures that promote social causes.
There you go.
Thank you, ChatGPT. You wanted to know what would happen if they started dating. Now you know.
You heard it here first. I'm telling you, I used to say if Kim Kardashian and Tim Tebow hooked up, it would break the internet. This would be bigger than that.
What do you call that? I mean, like, not the Tebow. Like, if Brady and Kim Kardashian start dating, what is their couple name? Because that's always a big important part of this, is what's the couple name? Because there's no really good way to put Kim and Brady or
we'd have to think
Tom
about it.
And Kardashian,
Brady, Tardashian,
Brady,
Tardashian sounds a little like D'Artagnan from the Three Musketeers.
Brady,
it would have to be something. Hey, did you see where Shannon Sharp is leaving that show he's on with Skip Bayless?
Whatever for?
And did you see who's recruiting him?
No.
Here's Stephen A. Smith.
And that I don't know what his plans are. I don't know what he's trying to pursue. I don't know what he's after. But if Shannon Sharp needs me, I'm happy to be here for him. And if that included him wanting to come on First Take, the bosses at ESPN know that is something I would support.
Think it would work? Stephen A. and Shannon?
Who's there
now? We know
now?
Stephen A. and Skip works, but Skip's not leaving.
No. Skip shoved him out the door, reportedly. Shannon Sharp.
Right, but Skip and Stephen A. like each other. Those two had a pretty successful run together. That's like Ali Frazier of TV talking
heads.
Who is
on First Take now?
Just Stephen A. with a rotating cast. Okay. He brings in Chris Mad Dog Russo. He brings in J.J. Redick. He brings in Kendrick Perkins. He brings in Michael Irvin. He brings in a different guy every day. If you were looking for a permanent co-host, I think Shannon would work.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's interested in doing that. I don't think Shannon needs the money. He had a pretty successful NFL career. But he's good on TV. And if Stephen A. wants him...
I mean, I know, you know, stuff's going on, but, like, you know, ESPN's still going out and getting talent. I mean, they just, you know, they brought Pat McAfee in for a ton of money. So, I mean...
Yep.
They're still out there. That's as good a combination
as something to watch. Yeah, I like Shannon. You know, Shannon's a giant Lakers fan.
Well, yeah,
so he comes to a lot of games.
Fights with T. Morant.
Well, by the way, what do you think? We talked earlier about Adam Silver kind of saying too much last night about John Morant. If you had to guess, what's the suspension?
Like length or what for?
No. I know what it's going to be for. I mean, they've done this investigation, and if you want to go down this rabbit hole, there's several things they could suspend him for. But, and if you didn't hear it last night, we played this earlier in the show. I thought Adam Silver, who I'm a huge Adam Silver fan, I think he's the best commissioner in sports. He was asked last night, what's going on with the Ja Morant suspension and are you going to suspend him? And Adam, I thought, gave up too much information. Now we've got a bunch of people digging. Here was Adam last night at his commissioner's press conference at the finals.
In assessing what discipline is appropriate, if that's the case, we look at both the history of prior acts, but then we look at the individual player's history as well. And so that and the seriousness, of course, of the conduct. So those are all things that get factored. It's not an exact science. It comes down to judgment at the end of the day on the part of me and my colleagues in the league office. In terms of the timing, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information, I think, since I was still asked about the situation. I would say we probably could have brought it to a head now, but we made the decision, and I believe the Players Association agrees with us, that it would be unfair to these players and these teams in the middle of the series to announce the results of that investigation. And given that we're, of course, in the offseason, he has now been suspended by the Memphis Grizzlies indefinitely, and so nothing would have changed anyway in the next few weeks. It seemed better to park that at the moment, at least any public announcement. And my sense now is that shortly after the conclusion of the finals, we will announce the outcome of that investigation.
So I thought he said too much there. I thought it has a bunch of reporters digging out exactly what's going on with that investigation and how much. But it sounds like they're going to throw the book out.
I mean, Greg, like when we used to do, you know, the air checks and stuff like that, you'd come in, you know, we'd sit down and talk about like our performances and this, that, whatever. Like if that were like my tease for like the next segment. You. We've been like, you know, pretty good job there, though, creating interest and attention for what might be coming next week.
Right.
You know,
for next
like,
segment.
Way to tease what's coming. now everybody's just wondering, like, what did he do and how badly is the NBA going to throw the book at him? Like, to say that this was done to diffuse the situation didn't quite work.
Yeah, I think you could get a year. I really do. All right, coming up next, Game of Games, it's Bergman's game today. Is anybody from the afternoon show playing?
Love.
Or good. Cap's gonna play. All right, no Mace today. Brian Kamenitsky in for him, and we welcome to the program the one and only Scott Kaplan. Cap, how are you?
How's it going, gentlemen? Yeah, you know, B Cam rather than A Cam.
Yeah, A Cam was here earlier. He was filling in for Slee. So we've got as I said earlier, we have the full Kamenitsky experience today.
Yeah, they moved down the list alphabetically.
You know, John B. Cam is the more athletic of the two.
This is
you
true.
Know that?
Yeah. Well, it's not a high bar to clear, though, is it, Brian?
Also not true. Also true, I should say. Yeah.
Greg Bergman has the game today. Greg, what do you got?
All right. So there are a bunch of good birthdays this week. So I'll give you a fact about someone or a couple facts, and you tell me who it is. Name is your buzzer.
Okay.
Okay.
I am keeping track.
It's Jorge, Brian, me, and Cap.
Correct.
Here we go.
All right. So number one. This actor turned 68 today. His first role was an assistant in Halloween 2. His stand-up is based a lot around impressions.
Jim Cap.
Cap.
Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey is the right answer.
Wow. Dana Carvey is 68?
68 years old. When I saw that, I was shocked.
Way to go,
Cap.
I
did not realize he was that old. Nicely done.
I did not know that. Elijah.
Oh, my God.
That is wild. That is weird, wacky, wild
Jimmy
stuff.
Jimmy Stewart. All right. So, Morgan...
Oh, Morgan Freeman! Oh,
Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman.
I almost cursed again. All right,
we'll wipe it up. You're having a day over there.
Oh, my God.
All right, go to number three.
That stinks. Now I only have seven.
Oh, my God.
All right, so number three. This model is one of the most beautiful women on the planet. She started modeling in 1991 out of Germany and is still active. Cap.
Who is Heidi Klum?
Heidi Klum is the right answer.
What is happening here?
And he gets extra points for doing it in the style of Jeopardy.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I just did it to be safe.
The pen.
Wow, that is awesome.
Nice.
All right,
done.
2-0 Scott Kaplan in the lead.
Wow. Okay, number 4. This Canadian singer turned 49 yesterday. She played Almighty God in the movie Brian.
Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, I had that one.
It's either him or Morgan, Morgan Freeman.
This game's
going to
go up.
All right, 2-1.
Like a jagged little pill.
Number 5. This Irish actor turned 47
Ireland.
This week.
Ireland. Who is Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell is the right answer. What? Jesus. This is... Right.
Okay, so it's Cap 2, Ireland 1, Brian 1. Jorge, you awake over there?
The podcast is up, ladies and gentlemen. I was 1-2. If you go enjoy it now.
The big takeaway right now is that Bergman's game is about 7 minutes short on the amount of time.
It's going so fast. You're getting it on first clue.
You want to swear or something? To, you know,
I think I just did by accident.
Going.
All right, so number 6.
By the way, it's bleeped in the podcast.
This legendary actor turned 93 this week.
Jorge. Clint Eastwood.
This is ridiculous. Yes.
Absolutely.
Wow. Did you just see it was his birthday recently?
I did.
Oh, my goodness.
You might
can I just read the rest of my clues at least? I have 4 for each person.
Wow. Who was it, Jorge?
Clint Eastwood.
Or as you said,
Clint
Eastwood.
It's hard to say, man.
Everybody's in it.
Everybody's alive.
Morgan Freeman.
Number 7. All right. This athlete turned 80 this week. Born in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
Cap
was there first.
Joe Namath.
Joe Namath is right.
Wait a minute. Does that give the win to Cappy? Is there only one left?
There's only one left. Cappy is the winner.
Cap wins. Cap, you took me down.
Yes, I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. I think that's a first.
A win.
Well, I want to do the 8th one anyway.
Well, you might as well because we got like 10 minutes left.
I'm going to go very slow.
Okay.
Number 8, this athlete turns 43 today. She is one of the most decorated women's soccer players of all time. She is the highest all-time goal scorer for the U.S. national team. Jorge.
Abby Wambach.
Abby Wambach is the
first. So Cappy wins it. Wow.
All right. So the tiebreaker question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because we have time.
Certainly do.
If you take the ages of all 8 people on this list, what does it add up to? We're obviously going to add Morgan Freeman in there because you got that one.
Yeah,
I gave it to everybody.
Okay.
What does it add up to? Closest without going over. John, give me a number first.
560.
Okay, 560. Jorge.
475.
475. Brian.
$1.
$1. And Cappy.
$2.
I was hoping Kaplan wouldn't be sharp on a
Cappy,
Friday.
$9.
$9.
Jorge is the winner, 475. Yeah. John, if you went a little bit over, you would have won, but it is Jorge with the number is 516.
Ooh. Okay.
516.
So John, I must tell you that the reason I was able to be victorious today, which is, you know, one for every like 30 or so that I play.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you. Two things. One, the Dana Carvey thing. The only reason I knew that is because earlier in the day, Lindsay had sent me a list of things, holidays, birthdays, on this day, et cetera.
Oh, man.
And so
cheating.
Earlier today, I read
Dana
Carvey.
He didn't solicit it. Lindsay just sent it.
True.
Yeah. And the other thing is that Heidi Klum's birthday earlier this week, I'm sure Chris did a rejoin on Tuesday about how she broke Seal's heart. And so he mentioned it earlier this week. It's Heidi Klum's birthday. That's the only way I knew these two.
You know, Heidi Klum, if I'm not mistaken, when she was with Seal, ran off with her bodyguard. I would never allow my wife to have an attractive bodyguard. I want a bodyguard who has like the body of Nikola Jokic.
Like a really attractive nanny or babysitter or something like
that. Well, let me throw a couple of more in there. You know, the most dangerous of them all. And you guys out there, you know who you are. It's the wife's yoga instructor or the wife's trainer.
Yeah.
Be wary of anybody who's given your wife yoga lessons or anybody that's given your wife training sessions. Those two dudes, bad.
I don't know if I've told this story on the air before, but some of you guys have met my wife. Jorge and Greg both have for sure. I don't know, Cap, if you and Brian have ever met her, but
I've met your wife many times.
Okay, good. My wife is a genuinely
we've known each other for like 20 years.
Okay, good.
She and I grew up together actually in the same neighborhood.
Well, she is. We didn't meet in San Diego, but my wife is genuinely one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. She just doesn't have a mean bone in her body. So when Jack was born, our son. She'd been home for the hospital for maybe a week, and we are interviewing nannies, potential nannies, to come in just two days a week. And Lisa's in the back sleeping. And Brian, did you ever go to my old house in the Hollywood Hills?
No, it sounds nice.
I had a house in the Hollywood Hills. Among my neighbors, Ridley Scott next door, John Favreau across the street.
Love John Favreau.
Mike White next to Favreau, and Brad Garrett across from them.
Wow.
So it was this really fun neighborhood. And right above the Comedy Store in the Hollywood Hills.
Nice.
So this girl knocks on the door, and it is a Australian model. She is 25, flawless, just like stunning. And she says, you know, she walks in. She has that.
she says, good day.
Yeah. She has that Elle McPherson accent. And she walks in. I said, hey, come on in. And Lisa was taking a nap, so I was in charge of Jack. Jack's like 2 weeks old. So I've got Jack in a bassinet, and she comes in, and I ask her a couple of questions. I go, here, let me see you with the baby. And so I hand her the baby, and she's rocking Jack, and Jack is, you know, cooing. I go, hey, this might work. Let me get my wife out here. I'll wake her up just because I want her to meet you. And Lisa walks in and looks at her holding Jack, looks at me, scowls, and just looks right at me and goes, no, and turns around. It goes back to bed. Never said a word to this girl. It's the meanest I've ever seen her be. It's what Cap's saying. She didn't want a fox in the hen house.
Uh-uh.
This girl would never go for me. But still, Lisa didn't even want it in play. Like, knocked out. So, Cap, if Rachel comes back with a hot yoga instructor, you're kicking him to the curb for a fat guy?
Yeah, I don't want him anywhere nearby. I've had a buddy of mine who's had two different marriages ended by yoga instructors. I mean, this guy attracts women who go after yoga instructors after they're married to this guy.
That's incredibly bad luck.
Yeah.
Two of your wives run off with their yoga instructors.
At that point, just yoga becomes a red flag.
Yeah, right. You do yoga, we can't date.
We can't do it.
Now, was he Zohan?
Wait.
I'm talking to Cappy. Was
no,
it Zohan?
It was not Zohan, George. Okay. It was not Zohan. I don't want to say this guy's name. He's probably listening right now going, don't say my name, jerk.
Yeah. Well, if he's like a two-time loser because of the yoga instructor, I bet you he never attends a yoga class.
Say my name.
I'll tell you, though, John, my wife, again, of course, now I'm divorced, but back then, she had the complete opposite concept. She wanted the hottest nannies there were.
God bless her.
She thought that wherever we went, when we brought our hot nanny, it made us look cooler, you know? But I will tell you that it creates an uncomfortable environment.
I would
there's temptation around the corner.
Did you ever flirt with the nannies?
What do you think?
I think you did, and I think
that's one of the reasons why
you may no longer be married to this woman. I'm not sure.
No, that's not why. But I mean, George, you think that I would be flirting with the nanny?
Yes.
In a word, yes. Let's hit the super stager.
Oh, sure.
All right, so Sedano and Cap are both coming at you remotely today. Brian and I are the only ones in the studio. And Brian, you had a question you were about to ask.
Scott, I hope you understand the spirit in which this question is asked. You are a unique and singular personality.
I have no idea where this is going.
There's been two compliments so far,
what
I think.
What does it look like when Scott Kaplan flirts?
Well, wait.
What is that? Is it effective? Do you have a style? Is there a go-to?
Are you accusing Cappy of having no game?
No. He might have tremendous game. I don't know.
I would assume he does.
I'm looking at almost like not a sociologist, but like, you know, one of those people.
Cap,
like,
do you walk up?
Me, yeah. Baby.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Cap, do you walk up to her and say, you know what would look good on you? Me.
Oh, God. Great line. Never knew it. We'll incorporate it immediately.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen Cap in his heyday. I think he probably could talk the, I was about to say talk the pants off of somebody, but I don't want to get fired.
You don't want to say something like that, do you?
Yeah. Well, Greg used one of the George Carlin's seven dirty words right in the middle of What's Up, Fool today.
Sure did.
No way. You get dumped?
Yeah.
I dumped myself.
Yeah. It was like three of us tried to dump them all at once. It
did.
What'd
you say,
just,
Greg?
I'm not saying it again.
Oh. Yeah. It was not good. So
not falling for that trick.
So we were talking earlier, guys, Sedano and Cap, that there is, and there's some evidence here, that there is a flirtation going on between Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian. She was seen driving his golf cart at a private residence in the Bahamas. They were seen out to dinner earlier in the week. If those two coupled off and became a thing, would they surpass Beyonce and Jay-Z as the world's biggest American power couple?
I'm going to have to go no. I would still say no.
I'm going to go no here.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the way I look at, like, the totem pole of, like, the hierarchy of, like, fame.
Right.
I would say musician / rock star, whatever you want to call it, is the top. I think movies is number two, close number two. And then I think reality star is way down that hierarchy. Like, it's not in the same class as the other ones. And then athlete is somewhere in between those, I would say. So, no.
See, but I'm not sure that Kim goes by reality star.
Yeah, she kind of eclipses it, doesn't she, Cash?
Yeah, mm-hmm. She kind of goes, she's
is she, though? That's what she is, though.
No, but I think she isn't. Tell me, am I wrong? Is it her? Or
entrepreneur is what you're going to call her?
Yeah. We looked it up, George. She's a billionaire. Right. She's worth $1.2 billion.
Cool.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's still why doesn't I make her. I still doesn't make the world.
Yeah, I still don't think it makes her more famous than Beyonce and Jay-Z.
No, but the other thing was, you know, power couple. You know, if you told me that Tom Brady and Oprah got together, I'd say, okay, now you got yourself a power couple. You know, but Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian, while she's got the money, I don't know if she's that
right outside of the E network. Is she moving and shaking that much, like in entertainment?
Well, I will say this: those two would be. I would be hard pressed to find. I brought up Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie in their heyday, but those are Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian are two of the best looking people I have ever seen in person. Both of them are strikingly handsome on his case, and she's just stunning.
You should ask Cappy how he truly feels because, you know, Tommy's like his boyfriend. So, like, he loves Tommy. That's like his bro.
I do love Tom Brady. And I'll tell you something else. I kind of like Kim Kardashian a lot, too. You know, I'd like to go out with Kim Kardashian. I don't need to, like, have a relationship with her. But I mean,
you just want it for the publicity.
I mean, just like I'd like to be able to tell my friends a story. You know, like, hey, guys, you know, I was at a Laker game and I happened to bump into Kim Kardashian. And, you know, back to B-Cam, you know, as far as flirting, I would just be like, I would be mysteriously quiet, you know?
And then, yeah, because that'll get her attention very quickly.
Yes, it will. That's right, because the less you say, the less chance you have to say dumb stuff.
But at a game, there's like a million other people around.
When have you ever followed that idea or theory of life, Scott?
Yeah, that's true. You got me on that. But then all of a sudden, I say to my buddies, I'm like, yo, I met Kim Kardashian. It just was a completely chance meeting. The next thing you know, she asked me for my number. I hooked it up with her, you know what I mean? Like, I texted her, she texted me. Next thing I know, we're chatting. And then, you know, we were out to dinner one night and, you know, things got heated from there. And I'd like to have that story.
Schmooze me, yeah, baby. Yeah. We were trying to come up with what you would call them. You know, like when Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck were married, it was Bennifer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so somebody, I want to give somebody credit here. Josh Smith, one of our listeners, came up with a good one if those two become a thing. T-Dash. Yeah, isn't that good?
Oh, because like, Dash is her chain store or whatever? Like
right,
her,
and
whatever,
you know,
store
you
is.
Just put the T in for Tom Brady and they would become T-Dash. Like T-Dash spotted at Nobu. You know, it would probably work. But let's see if they get spotted at Nobu.
We actually should try to promote Scott's idea of Tom Brady and Oprah dating because then they could be Topra.
Now that's funny.
Not bad. And if I were to date Kim Kardashian, maybe we could become the Kapdashians.
Kapdashian or double K.
You'd be Kimplin.
I just think this will be. I mean, it might break the internet if these two cook up. All right, let's pivot to the let's pivot to the NBA Finals. Sinano, I'm like you.
Sinano.
I think that Miami is going to make adjustments, and I have great respect for Miami, but Denver looked like a freight train last night. They didn't even play their best game. Michael Porter couldn't throw a shot in anywhere, and they won by double digits. Does this look like a boat race to you, or does do the Heat come back?
No, I got to see. I mean, I'm not overreacting to one game. I've seen a lot of what game ones not look pretty, and then it's a series. So I'm not there yet. Here's what I'd say. If you would have told Eric Spoelstra before the game that he was going to only allow 104 points, he probably thinks he's getting a win in game one.
Sure.
So I think their defense deserves some credit for their for what everybody would deem a off night for the Denver Nuggets. I think it just boiled down to them not hitting shots they've hit the entire postseason. I mean, there were so many wide open looks. I've never felt, well, I shouldn't say never, but I have rarely felt as bad for a professional athlete as I did Max Strus last night, as he was shooting shots that looked like they were good off his hands and just did not go in.
And it reminded me of Ray Allen. Wide open, too, George.
Yeah,
wide
yeah.
open.
It reminded me of Ray Allen in the 2010 finals, actually, a little bit, where he had one of those crazy games where he missed like a bunch of threes, too. I think he was 0-for in that game.
The next game's not till Sunday night. And so we've got a couple of days to sit and stew about it. The other thing we kicked around today for a while, guys, is Adam Silver, I thought, stepped in it a little bit last night. I'm a big Adam Silver fan, but when he was asked about Ja Morant, he gave an almost two-minute answer about how they've been investigating him, they found some stuff, and that they're going to wait till after the finals to announce the verdict. I thought he would have been better, Cap, if he just would have said, yeah, we're working on that, and we'll have an announcement after the finals. Instead, now we've got all these reporters digging about what he found out and how long Morant's going to get. How long do you think Morant is going to get?
50 games.
George, I think he might get a year.
I would say that it's probably – that a year is on the table if I had to guess. I mean, again, this is just me randomly speculating, but I don't think it's off the table.
Yeah, I think the NBA is going to make an example out of him. I think that – knowing that he did it once and that he sat there with the commissioner and they suspended him for 8 games and, you know, he was able to come back and play in the playoffs, and then before you know it, he's doing it again. And because he's so young and because he's so such a famous slash integral part of, I think, the NBA's future, or at least they thought so, I think they got to really make a statement. And I think they're going to.
I do, too. I think they're going to really throw the book at him. Hey, so we played this earlier. I wanted to play it for you guys because, as you know, I always play sound during Super Crosstalk. This is a girl named Annie Agar. She's really good on social media. She does a lot of really funny videos. She's got an idea, Cappy, I'm particularly interested in getting your take on this, on how to revolutionize golf. All right, are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Guys, I'm out on the golf course. Couple drinks deep. Had a great thought, though, okay? Golf courses should have bottle service. Like at a club, right? Just have the cart person follow you around and just constantly have alcohol, because we're struggling to find some right now, to be completely honest with you. I just think that's a brilliant idea. I think it could be done quickly. Like bachelor parties, would you not love to have your own personal bottle service on a golf course? The golf games would be interesting. Anyway, thought of the day.
All right, Cap, what do you think? Bottle service on the golf course, would it work?
Forget Cap, 100% it works.
Yeah, not a terrible idea, really.
100%.
And I mean, guys are idiots, so they would all pay for it. You know, bottle service, the number one thing about bottle service, if you've ever had it, it's way overpriced. It's super too expensive.
Yeah, you're paying 3 to 5 times the markup.
At least. Yeah. And but Cap, would it work?
Oh, yeah. Man. First of all, if what this young lady was talking about, you know, if you have a party like that, you should have a cart person with a beer cart and an alcohol cart with you the whole time, if that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah, that's what she's suggesting.
Yeah,
that you would have your own personal, basically, bartender that would be with you for all 18 holes.
I wonder where she's playing at. Did she say where she was playing?
Because no.
There are a lot of golf courses now that have what they call comfort stations.
Yep.
And I mean,
about every 4 holes.
Yeah, and they're stocked with everything. You're like, oh my God, I feel like there's so much stuff in here. I should put some in my golf bag and take it home with me. You know?
Yeah, I think she's on to something. And I think people, the question,
you know, they do it at Topgolf. So why not on the golf course?
Right. And Topgolf is super pricey and people pay it.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, the question with all these ideas is, can you monetize them?
Sure, of course.
And in this case, you could.
I know cart girls that make bank.
Well, but here's the thing, John. You buy the bottles.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario, you're still serving them regardless. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's a win-win situation for the golf course, because let's say you buy 10 bottles of Grey Goose or whatever, right? Or 10 bottles of Tequila Mandala, and you're going to have people drink that alcohol anyway in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't, whether it's in a bottle service or just 2 ounces at a time.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to, is Lindsay here today?
Baseball. Yeah, she's on Comrex.
I'm here.
Hey, Linz. So you worked as like a waitress slash bartender when you were younger.
I was a cart girl for like 10 years.
Okay, there, so what do you think of this idea?
I think that's already a thing, because everywhere that I've worked, you had the option to like hire your own beverage cart. Like, I definitely have worked golf outings where there is, you know, pretty much a golf or a beverage cart for like every other hole.
And so you would basically marry yourself to one or two groups the whole time?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Make a lot of money.
I think she's on to something.
What's the biggest tip you ever
Linz,
got on
what
the
could
golf
you
course?
Charge for that? Like, what do you think? You know, guys are idiots. Guys are sheep, especially on the golf course. What?
I mean, like, the markup is crazy. Like, the golf course I worked at in Ohio, we charged $15 for a six-pack of Bud Light cans. Jesus. So you just, you know, every guy would hand you a 20 and tell you to keep the change.
Hmm. Right.
So, I mean, that's crazy that people paid $15 for a six pack.
Right, but they'll do it because you're in a, mm-hmm. it's kind of like the same thing when you're at the movies and you pay way too much money for everything. On the golf course, you've got them in a captive environment.
Can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Right, and a lot of those cart girls look like Lindsay. So they, you know, these guys are all, it's like, Linz, it's like half flirting and half a tip, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of creeps out there, but made a lot of money.
I was going to say.
By the 17th hole, that ratio of half and half tips a lot more to flirting, I'm sure.
Yeah, it probably does. All right, Dodgers-Yankees tonight, boys, at Dodgers Stadium. I asked this question on our show earlier. So, Sonano and Cap, if I told you for 5 years, the next 5 years from now until 5 years from now, you can own the Dodgers or the Yankees, which team would you take?
Oof. Both of them have a lot of young talent on the roster now.
Right now, but I'm saying you get it all, George. You get the TV contracts, you get the concessions.
No, I know, I know. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine the Yankees have a bigger TV contract, don't they?
And they own the network. They own the Yes Network.
Well, they own part of it. They don't own the whole thing anymore. But they do own, which is more than the Dodgers do, I presume.
But the Dodgers have the largest rights fee from Sportsnet LA. If this helps you make a decision, the Yankees, according to Forbes, net worth is about $7 billion. And the Dodgers is about 4.2. So naturally, the base, the what the franchises are worth tips towards the Yankees. But that doesn't mean over the next 5 years that it couldn't, you know, switch or be competitive. And you get to live in California if you took the Dodgers.
Oh, right. I mean, that tips the scales already. I do think that the Yankees are always just going to be worth more because they're the Yankees. They have the most championships. They have all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't see a day unless somebody ends up having 27 or 28 championships or whatever it is, where that scale tips that much, you know?
Yeah. What, Cap, who would you take?
I'd probably take the Yankees. I mean, they got a brand new stadium also.
Right.
So that's an asset that I'd like to have my hands on.
Would you sell sided for it, though?
Well, the question is, eventually sell sided and you know, buy a baseball team? I don't know that I'm going to buy a baseball team. Maybe like a single-A ball club in Lake Elsinore, perhaps.
That's a great
stadium.
Why
don't you buy a pickleball team in San Diego?
Ooh.
Rich Paul owns a pickleball team.
You know what, George? You see, now you're on to something, because now you have tremendous upside potential with a pickleball team. Like right now,
it's a growth product,
right,
Cap.
It is. Right. Yeah. Like if you could have bought an MLS soccer team, like, 5 years ago, that would have been the time to do it. Now they're a fortune.
I mean, probably more than that, but yeah. But I get your point. Yes, that's why. Get in on the ground floor and pickleball.
Mm-hmm. Pickleball's a good idea.
All right, coming up next, Sedano and Cap. Lots of craziness, and they'll lead you into the weekend. A reminder that on Monday, Michael Thompson is going to fill in for Mace, and we're going to be live at a Lakers BBGO event, which scheduled to appear. Now, we're not making any promises, but scheduled to appear are James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robert Horry, and maybe Magic. And so whoever shows up, we'll put them on the radio. That'll be Monday. Brian, thank you very much for doing this.
Sure, fun.
Sedano and Cap next, ESPN LA.